Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us, we have Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for Call ID 17702. Or if you really want to, also we co-broadcast on twitch.tv. Just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and you'll find us. The stream should start somewhere around 9:35 because I need a little time for people to show up. But that's when it should start. I will be keeping an eye out on the chat room, and that chat room has been quite busy as of late. So if you don't like TalkShoe, but you like Twitch, please join me on Twitch. I will respond as much as I possibly can. Moving onward to the news from ADB. There's some quick news from ADB this week, and that is that they released some new Shapeways minis for the month of October. It looks like they were mainly focused on different Borak ships, and also Klingon and Romulan ground vehicles. Looks like they're actually moving on to actually having the ground vehicles into mini form, which is, I think, really cool. Hopefully we can get some more people interested, like Starfleet Marines, and that'd be interesting to see, ask ADB about, which is the possibility of have hexless Marines. That's one thing maybe I should discuss with ADB, at least, you know, post it up and see what's the whole idea of hexless, because hexless, I would think, for Starfleet Marines would be a heck of a lot easier. Now, of course, here's the gotch for hexless, which is, and what I'm thinking about when hexless, I'm thinking about like Warhammer. Warhammer, I think it's 20K, I think it is? Or 40K. And how you have all the miniatures and you have the different buildings and so forth. And actual physical objects, you know, on the board. So it would be interesting to see if, you know, that might be of interest. Because, heck, we've got now we've got some of the vehicles, why not have, you know, hexless and do it that way, which I think would be quite cool. Obviously, hex space still makes things quite a bit easier, but hexless, I think that'd be a nice addition. Moving onward and forward to the SFB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star 6 tournament, there's two of the four games completed in round two. I'm still alive so far. We got into end of turn four. I'm planning on trying to see if we can play our final game, final session on Tuesday of next week. I'm gonna send an email to him tonight about that so that we can actually complete it, because I think we have probably one more, we have at least one more battle pass. I can survive, I think, one more battle pass. That's why I say that. Depends upon if I can actually do something really goofy. If it's possible to have it so that he hits my rear panels, I think that might be a much better thing for me than what he currently does. And he's really degraded my front panels. But anyway, moving onward to that, the only issue is if I beat the Fed, then I have to actually defeat the IC in round three. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to library, there's been no progress, unfortunately, both in the FedCom or in the normal library. Neither one has moved at all, though we are moving on to a different background for the original third gen library, which I need to talk to everyone, especially Frank, about how we plan on releasing them, because to me, the biggest issue with that, with a new look, also means completely different SSDs. And I want it more of I'm gonna wait for people because there's certain features that are part of those new SSDs that require everyone to upgrade their client, which means I have to do certain work to have it so that as many people can upgrade the client as possible. Because without it, you're gonna have people who won't be able to see or use those SSDs, basically those ship definitions. So with that, that is news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Star for the Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me, we have Barry, which Barry is back. He disappeared for a moment. I was highly, highly concerned. But we're all here. So, let's see. Now, this is going to be an interesting night for me, folks, because my wireless mouse is acting up like crazy. So hopefully I can get it to the point where I can at least click the needed things. So, and I don't see, Barry has no audio connected at the moment. So that makes things even more difficult. So he's viewing only. So that means that this might be a really short podcast. It is what it is. Well, as there's two topics for tonight, one was going to talk about me and Barry, but I wanted to start off with, for viewing pleasure and probably in some cases for some people, my guess is it might be some laughing involved. And that is, okay, no audio connected. Okay. This. For those who are actually watching the video feed, you will notice that there's a few ships here over on this side. And you'll notice one's a Fed and one's an Andromeda. So I was going to give a quick update of my game that it's not completed. Just to let you know. Neither of us have been vanquished yet. So just have to wait and see on that. I was going to check with Barry. Okay, you can't hear anything. Okay. Yep, I just want to make sure that I actually, everything is good here. I'm recording there. I'm recording here, right? I'm recording here. So let's do something. Let's see if I can. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hello, hello, hello. This is, oh, please don't tell me that this might be a really, really quiet recording. Oh, lost my mouse again. That's going to be interesting. Okay, Twitch is good? Okay, good. That's more of my concern, and less my concern over here on Talk Shoe. Though obviously let me just, oh come on. Okay. I'm not muted. No, I'm good here. Okay, Barry, I don't see you at all. And I'm recording, so in theory, you should be hearing it through the Talk Shoe, which is weird. Okay, let me just double check one thing here. And I'm recording properly, correct? I can hear myself. I can't hear anything. Oh, looks like from the Brave browser, I'm doing good. So I should be, everything should be fine. I'm not sure, Barry. In the audio wave visuals on TalkShoe, but no audio. Okay. So, in that case, for Russ and Barry, what I would try, because Dave's done this in the past, which is he's gone and restarted his browser. You know, kill the session and come back. I think I'm going to need to get a new mouse. It's acting really squirrely. Actually, I got to check with my daughter, because I think my daughter has the same kind of mouse. But it's a little late to be doing it right this second. I'm just gonna have to muddle through, I think. Oh, hey Barry. I see you. Okay, currently there's no audio connected, according to. Hey Barry.
Hey there. I can't see you. Can you see me?
I can see you. You can't see me because I'm not broadcasting the video feed on TalkShoe at the moment.
Oh, okay.
In theory, I could try to
I
see
try.
how that worked. That'd be kind of weird for for the folks on Twitch because they'd see the recording of the recording.
All right, let me try stopping the video.
Okay.
All right, that works. Okay.
Yeah, because usually the browsers allow you to block one or the other or both, and you also can specify whether you want to do one or the other in TalkShoe. At least that's the way I've experienced it at the moment, because I've given up on trying to use Skype at this point. Logging in via Skype has just been failing too much. But anyway.
Any case, so Saturday I need to make a drive over to New Jersey.
Okay. That
But
kills
I'm
that.
probably only gonna be that kills that. And Sunday, unfortunately, I'm busy.
Oh, same here. That's
So
why I said it's a Saturday. But if you're busy Saturday, looks like you're gonna be busy Saturday. I assume you're gonna be seeing your mother.
yeah, and well. Yeah, I mean, it's where she's moving from her current apartment to a smaller place, so it's kind of like moving day. And
Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
yeah.
I'll still hold your one tiny piece hostage until you come over.
Well, I may stop on the way back.
Okay.
And
Well, text me if if you're gonna try to drive by, please just text me, beforehand to make sure that one I'm awake. Because you never know, I might take a nap in the afternoon on Saturday, or I might be out and about and doing something else. You never know.
So I'm just curious if anybody tried contacting Steve Petrick and mentioning this horrendous problem with the Nicosians about Turn mode H.
I have not, and I have not actually spent the time, because Lord knows, I looked at a number of posts in that thread that was mentioned by Aegis last week. And I looked at it and went, man, that's going to take me forever to go to read through, to have some coherent idea of what's going on. So I've not actually looked to see if it's possible someone brought it up. So I'd have to look at that.
Because otherwise the ship is basically pick a direction, turn once, and then never turn again.
Kind of pointless. Okay, I'm gonna stop the video. Also, it shows me, but that's not what I want. Actually, what I might want to see if I can do is broadcast using OBS. Doubt it, but you never know. Because that's what I'm doing with Twitch, is I've got OBS running. The idea is that I've got a little picture-in-picture kind of thing where you can see me in the little picture. And then you can actually see my screen, because that's one thing that I really like for some of the things that I do. And for tonight, it's kind of important for certain things that I want to quickly discuss at the beginning of the podcast. I was when we, originally you and I had planned it on working, playing together. And then we would here we discussed the Nicosians and how we were going to set that up and so forth. But in the meantime, let's get to the first topic that I had planned for this evening. And of course, my mouse goes out again. Let me first do this and then go here. Okay. Now, what I'm showing on my screen, since Barry, you're not looking at Twitch at the moment. If you want to go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, you can go there. You don't have to
Should
actually,
I?
if you want to, you can. So in that case, you can see.
I twit okay, Twitch
.tv
.tv
slash SFUOnCall.
Slash SFU on call.
Yep, you don't have to log in or anything like that.
Oh, cool. Now,
just want basically I wanted to give a quick update on my game, which we started on Tuesday night. We played from 7 to around 10, 15. At that point, it's like, okay, I've got to, okay, we have to stop now. Because if we start, we're going to be pushing on to 11, and then stuff I have to get done before I go to bed. It's like, no. I got get we have to stop now. So, but anyhow, just let people know it is the end of turn four. We've already gone through two battle passes. Currently, the Fed is, as you can see here, and I'm assuming Barry, you can see too, where I've knocked down shield number one, seer number six. I have damage on shield number five because of I was desperately, he was going for the toward from the center to kind of towards the upper left-hand corner. And I was doing my best to get my right side phasers in arc. Was it right side phasers? Yeah, right side phasers in arc so I could hit him. And that's no, it wasn't right side, it was left side, I think. Yeah, I think it was left side. Anyway, it doesn't matter. No, it was right side because I was actually go I went up towards there. I turned up towards the corner too, so I can get that down shield. Unfortunately, he's going speed 12. I'm going speed 25. When I get to that critical shield border, and he can't, he's not turned away yet. He, you know, I fire, and unfortunately, I didn't really look at it that much until after I announced fire. And I went, crap, he moves speed 12 next impulse. So that means he moves first. So that means I'm gonna be hitting shield number five, not shield number six. Which is one of those things I had to mention to Seth. Because he originally had four internals, one of those was a photon, and it's like, I wish I didn't have to take that back, but I have to. Because like photons, yes, photons, yes. But anyway, so I've got most of the four holes now gone. I got at the moment four powers down. He's down three power. He repaired one L, you know, left warp as AWR. And he's repaired the two phaser threes as protection for his phaser ones, which to me sucks. Though at the same time, his drone is dead, which means that on an internal that would normally hit a drone, it's gonna go right to the phaser. It's like, yes, finally. That was to me, that was the most annoying thing in the last set of internals, where I got most of the damage. Because what happened was that on turn three, what I did is he's coming straight up in the middle of the board. I'm coming straight down two hexes off his center line onto the right-hand side. So I'm coming down to shield number two. Well, on shield number one, coming down to shield number two, which I figured is where he's probably got all his reinforcements, shield number two. So I went, okay, fine. I displace from the right side to the left side. and go up just a tiny bit because of I wanted to make sure that we could I could have my guns available before he could turn. Before he could turn. So, what do I do? I do that, and then he hits me early on. Fortunately, he only hit with two photons, not two fully overloaded photons, and so he didn't get he got no, he didn't get any internals on me at that moment, but he had filled up my front panels pretty much all the way up to the brim. There's only six boxes, not six. It was seven, I think. No, it's either four or five. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it might be four. And then what he does is, did he keep coming in? No, he, okay, I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think this right. I have to double check, but I'm pretty sure what he did was that he then turned. Yeah, he turned. He was moving speed 12, so he turned to bring his shield number two to face me. And I was going fast enough so I could slide out and get a range three shot on the shield boundary, the shield number one. And I moved next impulse. He didn't move next impulse. So I was able to get on shield number one so I could avoid. Very, you can't. Oh, I don't think you can actually audio broadcast on Twitch. I'm the broadcaster. This is not TalkShoe. That's the thing. But anyway. Moving on, so that was the key there because I wanted to hit a shield number one, not because of its shield number one. Obviously, shield number one, it's a benefit to me because then that makes it harder for him to fight behind his shield number one. So given that, I got a shield number one and I missed all his reinforcement, which is it. At least I feel pretty confident that I missed it. He had no reinforcement there, so I feel pretty confident that he missed the shield reinforcement. So I was able to hit him there, and then when I was approaching, I was running away. He actually hit me when, I think when I was turning up. I forget what, but he hit me, and that's when I lost my. So that made it so that make it a heck of a lot easier. So at the current game, current I've got a phaser two on the front half and phaser two on the right side that are now dead. I've got all my hull is gone, which is my greatest concern. I did something stupid last turn. Last turn, I did not repair anything. I should have repaired two of my center hull to protect my batteries. That was a dumb move. So, and if you notice here, down here, oops, there it is. Down here, I've got, let me see, that would be 18, 22. So we got 22 boxes of degradation out of a total of 60 possible boxes of damage. So that means I can take up to 38 points of damage before I will get an internal, which means that I'd have to hit him at a distance. In addition to hitting him at a distance, I have to pray that his photons don't hit, which is also why you would want to hit him at a distance too, is to keep the amount of damage, possible damage down. Now, so far, I've been very fortunate. And that is both of our battle passes, we've gotten to range 4. Both battle passes, he's hit with 2 fully overloaded photons. Now, to say the very least, this past turn was interesting. On turn four, and in that he ended the turn at speed 6. So you know, he went lower, from down to 12 or down to 6, and that's where he ended. Now he ended with down 6, and we ended in this position. What happened here is that I ran here, and then I ran around here and here. The idea was that I needed to keep my shield away. And the one thing I actually took a risk, and this is why I have the phasers gone. One of my phaser twos got hit. And that was that I'm looking at this and going, if he keeps running at me, I've got two choices here. I can either drop my panels from reinforced down to standard levels and absorb some of that. It was like, what? I think I could absorb maybe 1 point of power or something like that into it. Now, just a reminder for people, I have been recording these games, okay, so that for people who want to, and I will be doing this in the future, I plan on reviewing my games and the tactics that I used, including, you know, you get to see all the wonderful glory. And what I'll probably do is do what I've done in the past, which is use like VLC to play it back. And in that playback, actually, there's one trim I want to do, because there's a part where basically my notifications come up on the right-hand side of the screen. And I really don't want people to see that, just because I think it detracts from the video. That's the only editing I want to do, is that minor trim, and probably the trimming of the beginning and the ending, where I have, you know, you see me bring up OBS and shutting down OBS and that kind of thing. But those are minor little, you know, trims. I don't modify things outside of that. That's to me, that's important. But you'll be able to see that now. Because I felt like I had to take the chance. And I took the chance, and he got 2 internals on me because he rolled a 1. When he rolled the 1, got 2 points of. Here it is. Got 2 points. I got 3 points of damage in the rear panels. Now, that gave me 1 additional degradation, which then released the point of energy because I was at standard level. I released the point of energy. And then when I released that point of energy, that point of energy went into the batteries. Yay! The tertiary shield at its work, which was at its finest, which was, I was quite happy, versus playing 2, because 2 would have been worse. But anyhow, I'm getting to that position now. Go back here. Now, currently, the Federation, the Fed, has launched all 4 shuttles. And he actually, this was highly freaking annoying. And that is, he, 2 of his shuttles fired at me. And 2 of his freaking shuttles, one of them actually hit me at range. I forget, that's like, it's in the 9 to 15 range. He actually rolled a 1. Thank you very much. So he got 1 internal. To say the very least, that was annoying. It was. Now, I forget off the top of my head if that was power, or that was hull, or that was a. I think it was power. I think it might have been the APR. That's when the APR died. But anyhow, so the Fed ended with speed six. Now, here is what I posted this on the discussion board for anyone to see. You know, so it's not like something that now other people haven't don't know my thinking on this anyway. And that is, given that the Fed is like right next door to all his shuttles. Shuttles only can move speed six. He's moving speed six. Now, logical conclusion, given that he's got those four shuttles launched, he's expecting us to fly around those shuttles. Now, it's possible that he's, I'm thinking he might go speed six. That's possible they might not do that. You know, because right now I'm off of shield number two. In my mind, he will have to. Because, well, one thing I forgot to mention, which is, I think it's a critical thing to mention, because this is critical to the thinking about this game. The Fed, in all of our wonderings, has used his HET bonus. That means I can win this game. I can win this game if I force him to try to HET and he fails. That's a one-third shot. The question always is, and now, and I can, I think, I feel like I can get that done. And here's the reason why. Because if I can get it so that I'm approaching, it's going to be again, he's going to want to keep that shield number two, the shield number two over here. He's going to keep that shield number two facing me at all times. Well, it's possible, of course, he might want to just come running down here and then come like this, you know, come down around so shield number two is facing me and have it so that I might try to attack his rear shield. Now, that I've got to debate. I'd have to debate myself on whether I'd want to do that because the problem with that approach is that means he's got his photons, which he then can hold, so his amount of power goes up. Because currently he did something which I know how much this sucks, which is what he did was he's fired at me two fully overloaded photon volleys. So four 16-point photons. Now, first time, it's not too bad because you got some overloaded energy, which you start the game with. Second time, you have to allocate 16 points for two turns to do that. That's not no small potatoes there. When it comes to the amount of power that you need to take, which is why overall he's been going pretty darn slow. Because to do that, because you got 16, then you got the normal four, so that's 20 points just for photons. Just for photons. And assuming that this past turn number four, what he was just doing was recharging those phasers, that's why it was going so slow. You got went down to speed six, you know, 12, six, which is possible. Now, the thing is, also, he fired some phasers the past turn, so he's not going to be fully charged in that case. But anyhow, given that, let's say just without even thinking about the phasers, he's launched all four shuttles. That means he has nothing, no special shuttles. None of them are special, to my knowledge. At least two of them definitely are not. It's possible two of them are suicides, but why would you do that? Now, okay, I'm not going to be dumb. I promise you, I will not be dumb. I've already faced this and did the dumb thing. I was facing a black shark in at Origins one time, and I decided they're just shuttles. Nah, I'll run right over them. Boom. Ran right over them. You know what they were? Suicide shuttles. Real smart. So I'm not going to assume that they're the suicide shuttles. They're not suicide shuttles until I see them fire. Or they do something unseeking weapon-like. Like, instead of turning towards me or going trying to get closer to me, decide to go away from me and try to stay closer to the ship. In which case, at that point, I know that definitely at that point, they're suicide shuttles. They're not suicide shuttles. They're just admin shuttles with the phaser threes. Now, given that, okay, I keep on doing this. Let's get back to what the point I'm trying to make. That is, got 20 points of power just for overloads, just for housekeeping. 20 points of power. That's when he had 38. Now, he's down 4, so he's now got 34. So the most amount of power he's got all completely. Now, it's assuming he's still going to overload those photons fully. All his power, you know, after all that, he's got 34 minus 20. He's got 14 points of power. That means he ain't going very fast. And if he decides to charge his phasers, then he'll go even slower. Now, I might check the logs before now and then and see what kind of power he used for the last turn. I just have to go grab the log, because a reminder, every single game is logged on that person's computer. So it's not like those logs are saved on the server. It's not. Privacy is maintained. They're saved on your computer. When I ask someone to send me feedback, those logs never come with me. The only thing I get is like, I get the configuration of the JVM, the Java, because it's based on Java. It's a Java-based application. So I get all that information there. And then I get, you know, some of your user configuration information. So, you know, what kind of colors do you have? Things like that. You know, so it gives me an idea of, you know, what your configuration is like. And, of course, then the other logs, the debug logs, those are sent to me. And they will have certain things to show what's going on behind the scenes in the client itself. You know, any errors that were shown that were captured in the logs but never seen on the screen. So they'll help me. They'd be gibberish to everybody else. So that, you know, just to let you know about that. Now, you know, if you want to know where the logs are, just ask me. I'd be happy to tell you. It's complicated, as they say, just because of, depending upon your operating system, they're stored in different places. So it's not a one size fits all answer. So anyhow, so I'm gonna probably review those logs for the last turn to see what his speed plot was for the turn, what his phaser uses, because I know he fired some phasers at me because of, as I said, you know, he fired at least, I think he fired four phaser ones. I feel pretty confident he fired four phaser ones. He fired the front half and the right, front right. I think it was that. Or it was the front half and two 360s. But I think I'm pretty full confident it was four. They fired at me. So it will be interesting to see how all... Yes, Andrews do roll. It will be interesting to see how this whole turns out. Because Seth says, oh, he's not that good of a Fed player. He's not awful. He's not the best. Because in my mind, see, the biggest issue I've always had with the Fed is one thing. And Lord knows, I don't want anyone to try to fix that. If you try to fix that, this ship will be unkillable. Not unkillable, but it'll be hard, very hard to lose in. And that is the amount of power that the photons take. It takes you 16 points for two turns. So 16, 16, so a total of 32 points of energy out of a total of 76 points of energy. That's, you know, total. That's the total energy that you could possibly have for over two turns in this ship. Given that, it would be interesting to see, the reason why it plays like it plays is just because the energy suck. The Fed is an energy suck. It sucks the energy right out of you. Now, I've been fortunate so far, which is that I've been able to manage my panels quite well. Now, like I think most people who are playing against Andromedans, it gets kind of annoying. Not that I'm doing it well, but I'm doing it at all. Because invariably, we have to interrupt the game and go, panel activity. Which means anywhere from dropping the front panels to taking the panels that go from standard, from reinforced down to standard. Things like that to try to clear the energy. Or in the case of the first turn, I dropped it from reinforced down to standard for the plain and simple reason that I wanted to move some of the energy that was in the front panels into the rear panels. Simple enough, you know, so that I get the most energy dissipated, not the most energy absorbed, because absorbed, it, you can kind of tweak it by maybe 1 point, which I know in some cases that actually make a difference. But that's, normally, at least for me, I'm not ever looking for that one additional point of energy into my batteries from the end of turn phase where you dissipate and absorb. So at the moment, okay, let me just think about that for a moment. I got a 40 rear. If I can get rid of all this energy, because I can't, because this is how it looks at the end of turn four after all my panel stuff at the end of turn. Then ruin the day. I just noticed that. Thanks, Russ. That would mean that I could take 36 points of damage if I got rid of all the energy. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So there'd be 36, 38 if I got rid of all of it. So the front panels are still the best panels I've got at the moment. And obviously, with the energy situation, the front panels have only, 7 points of power in them. So that means that I can absorb the most in my front panels. And this is the way I see it. If we both have a nice head on, you know, and not something that's a little more nuanced. Assuming if he hits with more than one photon, I'm in deep trouble. And that is because of I'll have enough internals that I'm going to lose at least a TR beam, definitely going to lose some more phasers, definitely going to wipe out my batteries. That is the key. when my batteries are gone, I am freaking toast. Which is why this turn is so critical. In theory, I can survive for a little bit without batteries, because I can repair batteries for the next turn or more. Now, that limits how I can get rid of energy, of course. But I could, at the very least, I could survive as long as I blow away a lot of the weapons of the Fed. That's gonna be the question there. At the moment, the whole idea, I figured out the only way I have a chance of winning against the Fed is going to be get on a down shield, so I can get a minimum close to as possible to 40 points of damage, possibly more. If I can get those phasers in there, that'd be awesome. It will be an interesting game to finish up. You know, at the moment, the die rolls have been in my favor. So, I'm happy. At the moment, I still have a chance. But we don't know what's gonna end up the next turn. Have to wait and see. I'm not sure what Seth has in store. It should be interesting to see what he plans on doing. Does Seth go in and go slowly and basically try to keep close to his shuttles? Or does he try to keep the shuttles between me and him? There is a possibility, I doubt this, he might turn away. I hope not. There's another one which I'm more concerned about. And that is that, and Lord knows, if he does this, fine, I'm going to run away. If he star castles, at that point, I'm leaving. Leaving the game. I'm going to just run around the edges. Yes, it's a Starfire tournament game. So I've already won my first round one game. I beat a Hydran. This is a Fed. And the fun part is, if I win this game, I get to face the ISC. Yay! It's like, why can't I face like Black Shark? Really? Really? I'm not going to say LDR, because I've yet to beat the LDR, and I'm not sure why. I know why, because it's the freaking ESGs. I want to get to range 3, and the ESGs go out to range 3, and if he turns it back to 2, you know, I can't really hurt. I have nothing to throw at the ESGs to get rid of them before I come in. You know, I can damage it, but that's about it. And if I use my ship to damage the ESGs, which is what he wants, it's not like I can hit the ESGs and have it hit on a different PAL. In theory, I can, but it's a gutsy move, especially with the LDR and their phaser Gs, and that is to displace inside the ESG. The whole idea being that the ESG hits my back panels, the rest of his weapons hit my front panels, and then so he does a lot of damage to me, but I'm still good. Now, this is the one of the things that I just dreaded. I dreaded when I faced the Hydran. And that is, the Hydran has this little thing called Hellbores. That means they fill both the front and the rear panels. That makes panel dumps next to impossible. Next to impossible. So, given that that's next to impossible, it I have to hope that I can get in there and he misses. Which I think against the Hydran, he didn't miss. I just blew away one of his Hellbores on the first turn. And partly that's because of he kept on going after me and I was able to get his down shield. I was able to get around to his down shield again after I displaced away. And that's why he lost his Hellbore. And Lord knows, the Andromedan needed the TRHs. They needed something to do this. We finally got enough damage that I can knock down a shield. Yay! Now I still have to come in close to guarantee that kind of damage. Oh, almost guarantee, because it's like roll 1 to 4, you get 20 points of damage at range 0 to 3. That is not a pleasant range to be in for very long, depending upon who you're facing. You're not going to want to be at range 3 against a plasma trucker. Because by the time you get to range 3, those plasmas will already gone right through you. Either that or obviously you can displace over it, but of course he's not going to launch all his plasma. He's going to do what plasma truckers normally do. Now I'm not going to include the King Eagle. The King Eagle is a weird one. I'm not sure how you'd face that. Just because you got one 50 point torpedo and 2 40s. I'm not sure exactly what you do. Probably launch the 50 as a pseudo and pray that the Andromeda thinks it's a real. Because if it doesn't think it's real, if it says, oh, nah, it's a fake, and runs right through it. And the question is, well, the question with the 50, yeah, two, I agree, 220s. No, but I didn't mean 240s. I mean, basically, you'd launch the two Fs together as for 40 points of damage, and then the R is a single 50 when it comes to King Eagle. But normally, what you would do as a plasma trucker is that you'd launch a plasma S and a plasma F together. That's standard. Whether the S is real or not, that's what you do. Unless you do an enveloper. Now, enveloper against Andromeda actually has there's a reason to do that because you hit both sets of panels and again make it difficult versus a normal shielded ship. Then enveloper doesn't mean as much, though. Again, you can use it to great effect, especially if the person lets it land. A lot of times, the envelopers used early on is as a scare tactic. You don't because the person doesn't want to run through it, and Lord knows I've run through many of the enveloping plasmas and gone, I can take it. Realizing later on, I shouldn't have taken that, but that was me. But anyway, so the only way would be to jump over it. Now, if I jump over it, you know that other S is available and the other F is still there, at least on the first battle pass. So you better be running. And even at range 3, what might happen is that he might bolt it, at that range, which means he's got good opportunity. Now, it depends upon the how lucky you feel you are. Because I rem still remember flying against David Zinbars, and he was flying the Gorn, and I was using the this Andromedan. But take this Andromedan, replace the TRHs with TRLs, and the only reason I survived as long as I survived was that he bolted four plasmas, missed with every single one. That's the only reason I survived. If you would have hit with two of them, I would have been dead. Plain simple. As it is, it was only by sheer grace of God that I even had a chance in that one. Oh, as I said, Barry, yes. Now, APTs are much more effective against Andros and scare the Andro leg a lot more in my mind. Now, in the case of normal ships, when it comes to enveloping plasma torpedoes on the early on, when you don't have any shield damage, the only reason you'd ever want to run through it is if you can be guaranteed to get a good range, like against, like let's say a Fed. A Fed can get the range too. You would do it then. But of course, in that case, as you get closer, if you get past range 4, I don't know, probably past range, let's say 6, the plasma chucker, he will probably use, you know, the his reserve power, finish charging that S, launch it. Or, at the very least, scare the crap out of the Fed by launching a pseudo from the other torpedo tube. Of course, you have to remember about that. But anyhow, so the EPT, no, so that's it. Now, for me, the biggest issue with I'm going to be facing, if I beat this Fed and move on to the ISC, obviously the biggest issue is going to be the PBD, not T, D. Because it's gone does whack at my whack and whack and whack and whack at my panels. And why is that a concern? The biggest concern there is degradation, because they can get it so just perfect. So I think within the closer range is like I think that does it get to 141? I forget. Or is it just 131? I think the closest range is 141 until you get to like range 3, in which case there's a myopic zone. Yes, you could, if you can get inside there, then you can avoid the PBD. But now, oh no, you've got two G torpedoes and an F that could possibly launch at you in a single turn. Obviously, it has two Fs, and one of them is just because of IC rules that you can't launch both of them in the same turn, fortunately. But so it's going to be, if I beat the Fed, I'll go to round 3, which would be fantastic. It'd be first Sapphire tournament that I've actually reached round 3. And my goal is to make it at the, my goal is to make it to the finals. Whether I win or not, depends. Oh, Lord have mercy, Barry. Actually, I have to review them again, because I did actually, I went through reading them. The additional thoughts you had on the Andromeda, the wacky solution, where the whole idea, the crux of the idea for those who are first tuning in, and that is the idea of to remove, you can remove energy anytime you want, but when you remove energy from the panels, it will automatically cause degradation. You know, it will, you know, for 2 points of energy you remove, 1 point of degradation is applied. Now, the one thing, the corner case, my dear friend, I'm assuming that if you remove 3 points, that's 2 points of degradation, correct? Which case, there's no reason to ever extract. I mean, there's zero, if that was the case, it'd be zero reason to ever move 1 point of power out of, you know, odd points of power from it. Yeah, if you move one point of power from a panel, would that cause a degradation? Yeah, one point of energy gets converted to degs. In other words, there's no reason to do odd points of power, only 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, or whatever, in your idea, you know, your idea. So I mean, you know, models just have that done by dissipation, because dissipation doesn't cause degradation. Only when you basically physically extract it and move it to some, either move it to another panel or move it to batteries. Now, there is one case I don't think you covered. And that is, well, actually, in that case, yeah, you haven't covered it. And that is, what happens if a panel is destroyed and has to release its energy into, like, the rear panels, into another set of panels, as per normal rules? Destroying the panel, actually, by releasing that energy into the other panels, would that cause degradation on the destroyed panel? I'm not so sure. I'd have to double check your email if you covered it in your email, because I don't think we discussed. I know we discussed the idea of repairing destroyed panels, that it would maintain the degradation that was previously assigned to it, previously had. Okay, so even to remove it via a forced extraction, via it, the panel actually being destroyed, it would actually have 5 points of degradation applied to it, half the energy. Then the other half would go wherever. Now, the question I'd have to double check with you, my dear friend, which I have for you, which is, in the case of energy that's released, at that point, can I control where it goes? Because currently, I have no control. There's a hierarchy of where energy goes. At that point, can I control whether it goes to batteries or goes to panels? Or what set of panels to go to? Because remember one thing, and that is, for bases, i.e. ones that have six sets of panels, you know, I forget how that works when you have six sets of panels. I'm pretty sure at that point, no, not necessarily. Because you might want to not have it go to batteries for the plain simple reason that you want to do a panel dump later to release more energy, and the batteries need to be empty so that you actually can release the energy. Because you might want to have the energy that's left in the panels, you want some of that energy going to the batteries. Because there's only so many tricks that Andromeda has to actually use up the energy that's in the batteries. Well, they don't. Yeah, I know. He said dumps. I didn't. But yeah, that's the point. Any energy, if you want to extract it after you get hit. So let's say that you're approaching a target, they destroy one of your panels, and you still have five panels left. You have the ability to extract as much as possible. Let's say that at that point you've got 50 points of energy But your rear paddles only take 40 points. So you put, let me see, there'll be 25 left over. So you put, you can put 25 in the rear. Battery dig? Oh, I gotta read this. Cause I'm sorry, you're getting, no. So the batteries themselves are volatile. So the batteries themselves would be damaged by transferring energy in and out of it, which is their main function. Okay, I'm hearing you out. Barry, I'm hearing you out. I'm listening. This should be really interesting. Okay, four panels in the front. Three panels in the rear. Okay. Excuse me? Panels that allow reinforcement? So basically, you're making them a mixture of the panels are now and shields. Okay. Well, crate doesn't have six batteries, it's three, but understood. So if you use them for, so the only time you can get battery dig, what a weird concept. Okay, but the only time you get a battery dig is when you actually use it for reinforcement. Correct? Am I understanding this correctly? Not when you actually use the batteries for charging weapons and things like that. Okay. I just want to make sure that I understood it because of it just seemed kind of a bit wacky. Still, it is kind of wacky, especially because of the one thing that kind of denotes the Andromedans all over, you know, basically, is that, I know this would make Cole's head pop, and I think it would make most people's head pop, because of, to come up with a different solution, now I'm not sure if it's a better solution, I don't know what one way or the other, I haven't played it, so I can't judge it, but right, I understood that damage control would help with both battery and panel deg. So battery deg is only for reinforcement, but to me, it kind of defeats the purpose of what defines what the panels are, because the panels are basically, at least, to me, it's current. The current incarnation is very clean cut. Very clean cut. You have these panels that can absorb so much energy, but at a certain point, it can't absorb them anymore. At that point, it can't protect the ship anymore and lets all that damage to go past the panels. Yes, Aegis, that's basically what it is. We were trying to come up with a solution, which a different way of trimming back the Andromedans without nerfing them. Now, I don't feel like they're completely nerfed. What was actually completely and utterly nerfed was the crate. That was completely and utterly nerfed. And in some case, as unfortunately, we did not listen to Paul Scott early on, and therefore it got nerfed in the way Paul Scott understood from the beginning what the real issue was. And that's not offensive potential. It was defensive potential. The ability to regenerate those shields, you know, the panels, very quickly. That was the crux of the issue. Now, easier just to let you know, one of the things that would change is those TRLs on those, what was on the Cobras. Well, we got rid of the TRLs. They're now TRHs. You know, they're the heavies again. So there's only one kind of TRs. Now, I forget how they changed the Courier. The Courier got really changed. It was whacked. Of course, the Courier was one of those really strange ships to begin with. Yeah, I know you were thinking for TRLs. But the problem with, Barry, the biggest problem with doubling the TRLs, doubling the TRs, is the amount of power required to use them. So, you know, remember, the one thing, Barry, is that you're not doing this just for tournament. You're doing it. These kind of rules would have to change for the whole fleet. What are you going to do? You're going to double the weapons for all the Dominator, double the weapons for the Intruder and all of those? When it comes to the crate itself, I agree that I would truly love to have four TRLs. That's the current one, the current rules. Take the TRHs, replace them with four TRLs. I would be happy with this. Give me two more power. You know, so instead of having two APRs, give me four APRs. I would be happy because I feel like that would give the Andromedan a chance of, even when it gets internals, it can still fight. Now, I'm not, at the moment, I'm happy with what the current incarnation is. And with the play test, with the playing that we're currently doing with the Sapphire tournament, I'm not sure how often I'm playing the Andromedan. I might play it now every single tournament I get a chance to be a part of. Just to test it out against different ships and maybe even improve my own skills in the Andromeda itself. But the thing is, Barry, that your rules were not just for the tournament. I understand that the tournament makes it easy to implement and easy to test. But at the same time, a little less panel management because you wouldn't be trying to look for the dump. Oh, it's not paperwork and no, no, I disagree there. It won't be less paperwork. It will be less panel management, less work, yes. But I don't, least paperwork, no. You are still going to do the one thing you're going to be always going to be thinking about. How do I remove the energy from the panels in the most efficient way? You're going to be like any other Andromeda. No, you're still going to be doing calculations, Barry. You still got to calculate how much energy can I draw from my panels and still have a viable ship. Now, this crate would not be four, could not survive with four panels with your new rules. It could not survive. Because what you're doing is with 40 points, let's say four panels, maximum 10 points of energy. You allow for reinforcement. You can okay, you can stop some of that energy, but of course then you just ruined your batteries. Now, given that you've basically ruined some of your batteries, which means it can only hold less energy than it previously was. Aegis, you know what? I tend to agree with your statement that the old rules were filled with too much, and they should have simply have increased the Andromedan BPV in many cases. Because here's always the gotcha. With that silly little number called BPV, battle point value, it means you're trying to take all of the weapons, all the systems and defenses and all that, come up with one number which defines that ship. That, my friend, cannot be done. It can give you a guide. It's about the best you can do. And even then, as you can tell, when they made the scouts, they decide, you know, we have to use two different ways of actually defining these ships. One, in the case of individual bases, when it's not with a fleet. The other is when it's with a fleet. In the case of the scouts, you have the EPV, which costs a lot more. But also, in the case of a scout, in a fleet concept, it's worth more. Why? Because it doesn't have to use its weapons. But its biggest weapons, biggest help to any fleet is the amount of EW it can generate. And some of the special functions, obviously. But that's the key for that. And that's what defines the BPV. Now, get back to Barry. The big issue there is that you're going to have to try without giving the Andromeda still would have to have 60 the minimum of the six the current boxes, six in the front, four in the back, because now I have to take into consideration how much damage can I cause to myself and still have a viable ship. That's going to be the arithmetic that you have to do. Because of if you leave the thing is, if you leave the energy in the panels, you will get squat at the end of the turn. You have to fly around and not get and hope that you don't get hit. Pfft, yeah, right. They're flying in the freaking fishbowl. That which is the big issue. That's why the Andromeda can't just run away. Or any other ship can't just run away. Because of the fishbowl. Now, since we're flying in the fishbowl, which as it is an artificial construct. Truly. It's an artificial construct. Which means certain things don't work. Right. That's 2 points of power dissipated each box. So you can actually take a 60... If let's say that you get hit with, like I just did, I got hit with like 40 points of damage from like the first battle pass. I think it was like 42 points of damage I got hit by the Fed. There, right there, boom. I got 40 points. Now the first turn, at the end of the turn, then I can remove 12. At the moment, assuming I have six panels. So then I'll go down to 30. Right. You can clear 4 points a day per turn for free. So which means that I could, in theory, extract 8 points. So a total of 20 out of my panels. And Have that absorbed into like the batteries. That says 20 points per turn. That might work. I'm not sure. Again, that's one thing we'd have to play test. Anyhow, it's getting late. I need to wrap up for this evening. Barry, thank you for sticking around and moving to the chat room. Aegis, always a pleasure. Yeah, I know you wanted with four front panels, and Lord knows that might not work at all because four front panels. Okay, let's go back to there. Now you can get rid of 12. That 40 points of damage that I got hit with by the Fed, that's with only two photons hitting. I got 42 points of damage with two photons hitting. At that point, I have a big whopping what? I got two internals. Hopefully, none of the TRs get hit. And another, with two internals. At that point, then I have to. I can max out to have to around 12. Okay, that'd be 8 plus 8, so a total of 16 points. Yeah, but I've used 20. Now, if I use 20 points of reinforcement, now I've killed. I'm assuming that's still the 2-for-1 deal. You now have 60 points of protection, but now you've lost 10 points of batteries. But not more damage, just number of weapons, which means internally it can take more damage internally. It's not going to produce more damage. In fact, TRLs, two TRLs to replace one TRH is worse when it comes to the amount of damage that it can do outside, because of there are those ranges when you go from the ones that like it would be 15, they've got rounded down to 7. So to the two TRLs, if they both roll sixes, then they're still you're going to do 14 points instead of 15 points. Yeah, which means us need more power. Oh, Barry, it's an interesting idea, but I'm gonna let it go because Lord knows I gotta get some sleep. I gotta wake up in 6 hours, so before we put the current one has a clock on the Andrew by the degradation, which is simple enough, which is how much damage it takes, And then there's the leak, which Lord knows that's my one concern at the moment, is leaks when it comes from the Fed. But anyhow, Barry, I've got to go to bed. Thank you for hanging out on Twitch and watching me go over my game, where we are, where we're gonna possibly be. It's gonna be interesting Tuesday night for those of you who want to watch. Feel free. We'll be starting around 7 o'clock. Hopefully, this time we'll start on time because of I'm keeping a better eye on my server. And I know when it started to act up, and I need to bounce it. But anyhow, and with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.